you will hear us say very often that all of us are called to be ministers. That means there is no excuse. Every one of us has been called by the Lord to go out and to minister to people. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're waving a Bible in their face. It is really by your life. It is by your life, and then people will then say, what's wrong with you? There's something different about you. And then you tell them, hey, it's the Lord Jesus and what he did in my life. Because you see, what we have been called to be is a peculiar people. Now, peculiar people, if you are carrying a cross, you are not going to be normal. Because a cross is obviously something that's very visible and it tends to get in the way of stuff. So when people see that, they're going to say, hey, what's wrong with you? You know, there's something that you're carrying in your life. Then you sort of like say, well, I'm glad you asked. This is what the Lord has done in my life. So on most mornings, I go to a coffee shop called Pound in, I think it's O'Connor. Yeah, Pound. And I normally go there. I've got my Bible there and I've got a book. And then I'm reading. And so last week, some guys that normally, you know, they're patrons of this coffee shop, they came in and they said, oh, what are you reading? And the unfortunate part I was reading was, it was the part in Exodus that was talking about the law of slaves. And they said, what are you reading? And I said, oh, no, it's a Bible. And said, what about it? And I said, oh, this has got to do with slavery. And the guy looked at me strange, you know, because he was a white guy. And said, oh, okay, why is this guy reading about slavery? My emphasis in going to this coffee shop and in engaging, I engage with conversation with people, is because I'm waiting for the day that somebody, because they know that's what I do, but I engage with everybody. I'm waiting for the day that someone will say, hey, something is going on in my life. And then on that day, I then just say, hey, this is what I believe. And I think that's what is very important for all of us. It's our life. I don't just read the Bible and ignore everybody. No, I actually close it and then I engage. How are you going? You know, the small talk. How was the weekend? It's easy for men because men just talk about nothing. You know, oh, football. Yeah, you were going for the Dockers, the Eagles. So there's always something to talk about. Others like golf. So you get to know what people's interests are. But guess what we're doing is that we're building relationship. But there will always be an opportunity one day where it will come at the right time where the Lord will whisper something and I'll be available to say, hey, this is what I'm sensing. And this is what being with the Holy Spirit is like, is that we will sense something that, hey, you know, I'm just sensing the Lord. And you will feel different, but guess what? You are going to have to say, hey, this is what I'm just sensing. And you explain whatever that thing is. Now, it is not your job to try and understand that feeling. It's your job to be obedient to the Lord and see what he will do. He will do whatever he needs to do because he knows what's going on in people's lives. Amen? So today is the beginning of a new series and called The Lifestyle of Prayer. And it's a continuation of our review of what Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 6. There were certain issues that the Lord spoke about in there. These were around issues of fasting, prayer, and giving. And so we spoke about fasting, I think it was in January. Today we're beginning to speak about prayer. So he said, when you fast, when you pray, and when you give, not if, suggesting to us that we need to make these three things a part of our lifestyle. We need to make these three things a part of our lifestyle. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, it says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. And then he goes on to say, when you pray, don't babble. Don't go on and on like the Gentiles do. Now, this is more, you know, where you think you've got to keep on sort of like saying, you know, like reciting stuff. He's saying, you know what? get rid of all that nonsense. Don't do that. Because they think that their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Now, you can imagine if your child constantly, you know, like they're constantly coming to you. You just say, tell me what it is that you need. Okay, I need money. And then maybe you might give it to them. But if they keep on, you know, like just repeating words over and over again, that's not good. So he says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then he goes on to say, then now you say, give us this the day the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. This is very important in our lives that as we ask the Lord for forgiveness, we should be releasing people that have sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. And if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. Prayer is an alignment with the will of God. What we heard there is that our posture has always got to be, Lord, may your kingdom come, may your will be done. Because what we are saying is that we're inviting heaven into our space and we say, you are preeminent in our lives and we want what you want in our lives to take place. We want your will above my will. Because when we put in our lives the will of God before our own, then, you know, things begin to happen for us. And then our prayers are just like, Lord, you know I need money for the rent. Can you make it happen? And we don't feel, because we are in a relationship with God. And so there's no need to be struggling or striving. And so we don't have to do that thing. And of course, what the Lord Jesus here was saying, look, this is an alternative for your prayer life. Pray behind closed doors. He's not necessarily talking about it's wrong to pray publicly because, you know, people do that. They pray together. But what he's emphasizing is private devotion. Because what was happening, why he actually said, you hypocrites. Now, a hypocrite is a play actor. They want to seem one way, but they are the other. So that's why in public, they were praying so loudly and, you know, doing all the necessary things. And guess what they were getting? When people see that, they're like, wow, that guy must be super holy. That guy must be close to the Lord. But it was far from it. That's what he's talking about here. It's not about not praying publicly. It is about the motive that the Lord is questioning. So this is calling us believers to keep God at the center of our motives when praying, because true prayer is always a matter of the heart. And so we know that God rewards those who spend concentrated, focused time in private prayer. But what he's doing is that he's honoring those people that prioritize him. That's what's the key thing. They're not doing it for themselves. They're doing it because they're prioritizing their relationship with God. This is what we want in our lives, because we're in a relationship with him, is that prayer is an alignment with whatever the will of God is for our lives. That's what we want, and that's why we pray. We know the Lord Jesus, when from Easter, when he was in Gethsemane, he was a human being like us. And he was like, if this is possible, you know, can we skip the cross? And the Lord said, no, no, no. But he says, not my will, but your will be done. So there are going to be things in our lives when we are aligning with the will of God, where we want our way, but then there's God's way. And so now we have a choice to make. Will I do it my way or God's way? Therefore, that is why we say, hey, Lord, I align myself with your will. So prayer for us is an alignment with the will of God. Prayer is communication with God. It is a dialogue, not a monologue. Not we wake up in the morning and we say, oh, Lord, thank you, Father, for all these things that you're doing for me today. I pray that as I go to the office, I'm going to do this and that. And all right, Lord, see you later. No, it's a dialogue. Because what we have to do is that when we come to the place of prayer, we listen to what the Lord has to say. And guess what? We posture ourselves for his reply. Because sometimes prayer is driven because we have questions, we've got some issues in our lives, we have complaints. Therefore, if we are asking the Lord for something, it's very important that we be ready to hear what he has to say for us. In Habakkuk 2 verse 1, it says, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. So the watchtower and the guard post represents the prophet's intentional positioning to receive divine revelation. So the key thing is that as a prophet, he had to watch for the signals. It was his role as a person of spiritual authority. Just like the military watchmen, they would stand on top of the post and they would what? They would see the enemy coming. And their responsibility was then to communicate to everybody else the things that they saw and say, hey, guess what we need to do? We need to be careful. The enemy is coming. So that is what for you and I is that when we are in the place of prayer, there is a spiritual posture that we need to have to hear what the Lord has to say, whether there are any warnings that are coming our way. The term guard post carries connotations of duty and service. And so that's why for us, we cannot abandon the place of prayer in our lives. Moreover, if we want to do things, our own lives are difficult. And it's very important that we bring God into everything that we do. In Ezekiel, I think it was 33 or 37, he says, I looked for someone to stand in the gap, but I found no one. And as a result of that, destruction came. So God is looking for you and I to stand in that gap, to stand, to be super intentional like Habakkuk was, and to stand in that place where, hey, I am going to intercede. I'm going to intercede for myself. I will intercede for my family so that what? Destruction is not going to come to people. So we have an important responsibility. You and I have a very important responsibility to do what? To dial up our prayer life. If we were praying this much, maybe this year we just need to dial it up that much. I'm not going to tell you the quantum of prayer. All I'm saying is that, hey, let's be super intentional about prayer in our lives, about standing in the gap for our families, standing in the gap for our children. You know, for those that are grandmothers, you have an important role to stand. All mothers, you have an important role to stand in the gap for your family, to really go hard and not allow the enemy to come and to wreak havoc in your children's life. So this is something that we want, that by the end of this, there'll be an activation for some of you that are going to say, you know what, I'm going to commit to a life of an intercessor where I'm interceding for my family. Amen. The watchtower, they symbolize the spiritual discipline required to hear from God. You and I are going to be in that place where we need to hear from the Lord. If you're running a business, if you're an employee at work, you have to come up with solutions. So you need to be able to hear, dial in with the Lord and hear what he has to say. Sometimes even when things don't go our way, we need to be in that place of prayer, listening and waiting to hear what the Lord is going to say and do in our lives. Prayer is about you and your relationship with God. I like this, what Pastor Charlie said earlier about the Apostle Peter, when the Lord said, Peter, do you love me? And then he says, feed my sheep. Provide for my lambs. There was that sequence of communication. This is in John chapter 21. And then there comes a time when Jesus said, the reason why Jesus was communicating with Peter was that he wanted him to, he says, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told Peter and said, "Follow me." Peter turned around and saw behind them the disciple Jesus loved, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked. Now, this was probably the apostle John that he saw. And, you know, after the Lord had spoken to Peter and said, "Hey, this is the way you're going to go out," he turned around to John and he said, "What about him?" And Jesus' response to him was that, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me." We get so caught up in comparison that, you see, there is a specific call on your life. There are specific weapons that have been designated against you, which means there's specific things that you will do in your life. There's a specific ministry that the Lord has given you. Now, the key thing is not to then compare yourself with somebody else. It is just to be so comfortable in your own skin. Because, you know, God establishes a general will for all believers. But he also has a specific will for each one. And so this passage teaches us that you should focus on your own calling rather than comparing other people's circumstances or your destiny with other people. This is very important that you, if somebody's got a gift, let me pick a gift. If they've got a gift of prophecy, and you might have a, let's see, what would we pick as a lesser gift? Maybe a gift of healing. And then you get so ticked off because you see, why, how come he's got a better gift than me? I would love to prophesy. And so all of a sudden you begin to compare yourself with another person. But the key thing here is that, hey, if I've been given a gift of healing, I'm going to operate in that. And the key thing that we have to say to ourselves, and why I thought for me this thing of, as for you, follow me. As for you, be in relationship with me, and don't compare your relationship with me to somebody else's relationship with the Lord. As for you, follow me. Prayer is not one size fits all. Prayer is not a formula. Prayer is personal. We know that in Mark, Jesus responded to Bartimaeus and the woman with the issue of blood, but they approached him very differently. Bartimaeus cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And everybody told him, "Keep quiet." And he shouted out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And then eventually the Lord came and healed him. But the woman with the issue of blood, she says, "If only I touch the hem of his garment." And that prayer was made in the secret place. And so she then went and touched the hem. And guess what? She was healed. So it tells us that prayer does not look the same for everyone. Because, you know, you find some people pray and, they're doing all the carry-on. They're doing all the carry-on and you think, oh, that's a bit strange. I mean, if you've seen some Africans pray, they look real like they're going nuts and praying. But, you know, it's for me, you know what the key thing is? It's not the type of how we pray. It is that there has to be faith behind it. So whether you pray loud or you pray quiet, is there faith behind your prayer? Because faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. Without faith, it is impossible to what? To please the Lord. So this reminds us that with prayer, it's not a one-size-fits-all. God is not looking for a method for us to copy, but faith that reaches for him. God responds to genuine faith, not just to a particular prayer lifestyle. So Bartimaeus was bold, was vocal, and he was persistent. He was desperate. It was public. The woman with the issue of blood, it was quiet. It was faith-filled. If only I touch, she believed that if I touch it, then I will be made well. So prayer is not a one-size-fits-all because people are not one-size-fits-all. We are all different. What matters is not the volume, the posture, or the method. What matters is that it's the faith that reaches out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to finish on this, if we can get the team back up. The prayer that we started with in Psalm. Psalm 3 verse 1, it says, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried out to the Lord and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept and I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. This is what Miss Caroline started with from Acts chapter 4. This is a key when we pray. This is David's prayer. But you, O Lord, even though I had all these enemies, all these things going against me. Now, you have to wonder that this was, none of us have been kings. So this was a guy who was a king. And now his son was after him to take all that stuff that was his. And now he was just going to be a nobody. But then he says, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me. My glory, he says that even though I don't have the throne, you are my glory, and you are the lifter of my head. That God would, because if our head is hung low, it's like there's shame attached to it. But God is the one that lifts our head up. Salvation belongs to our God. May we stand this morning. Father, I just thank you that salvation belongs to our God. I thank you, Lord God, for your people this morning. That no matter what they're facing, Lord God, no matter what report they've received, Lord, salvation belongs to our God. That you have the final say. You have the final say. That, Lord, you have a track record of being a deliverer. You have a track record of being a healer of people. You have a track record of setting people free. Lord, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Father, I thank you that for anybody in this place, Lord, that is struggling with something, salvation belongs to our God. And we just pray right now in Jesus' mighty name, that you would intervene for your people right now in Jesus' name, where they're standing. If you just raise your hands to the Lord this morning. Lord, where their enemies have risen up against them, Father, we thank you that you are a shield. You're a shield about them. We thank you that they should no longer hold their head in shame. And I just pray, Father, healing for people that are not well. I just pray deliverance, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. And this morning, there's three things I want to do. Number one, I'm just going to invite us all into a prayer where we, for those that have never made that decision to say, hey, I am going to give my life to the Lord. I'm just going to invite you this morning to do that, and just you, as I say this prayer, I invite you to join in me. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming into my life and dying on the cross for me and for forgiving me of my sins. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins today and I make the decision to follow you all the days of my life. Amen.